Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. We are in Oberlin, Ohio, for a reason, with David Orr. Education sounds to some people like sort of woolly-headed thinking and stuff, but we are sitting in a structure that you maintain, eloquently, of course, is part of a process of doing this differently, that the very space in which we currently inhabit, brand new, that buildings, that the incarnation of what you're talking about has meaning, that you have been the spearhead of a remarkable building that may in fact be the beginning of a revolution in thinking about spaces in educational environments. You did more than just think about this. You made a building come to... I greeted you when first we met as the father of the bride, or maybe the proud new father of the new baby. All of these metaphors are right. You made this building happen. And a lot of other people helped, but David Orr thought this up and brought it to pass. Isn't there something about the physical, the do in education?
Well, Paula, what we did here was 5 years ago, we had a space problem. I teach environmental studies at Oberlin College, and we were out of space. We'd been living in a basement without windows and offices and so forth, so we had to get out, and we had lots of students. So what we did, the college gave us permission to go ahead and develop this building. I had to raise money for it from sources not otherwise likely to give to the college and help coordinate design and so forth. But what we did was to take the act of designing and building a structure and make it a pedagogical thing. And so we opened up the design process. You know, Winston Churchill says we shape our buildings thereafter they shape us. And so here we are in academic buildings. Behind me is a building, if the listeners could see. It's a building, they know right away who designed it. It was a company that designed prisons for the state of Ohio. So if you can,
I lived in that building once upon a time.
And you know what I'm talking about. You could put barbed wire around a building and bars in the windows, and it's, you know, and these are the places which we say, well, we want to foster the life of the mind. Well, it doesn't happen that way. So anyway, we opened up the design process. We had 13 public charrettes and brought in people like John Lyle to help coordinate design, the late architect.
A public charrette is not necessarily a term people are familiar with.
A charrette is simply a public planning meeting. The term comes from French. A charrette was a little cart, as I understand it, in which the architecture students, before they had to present their plans, the cart would come by and they'd toss their plans into the charrette and it would go off to the school building where they were going to present these things. So all this paper, the cart was a place where you put all your paperwork and then you went off to the university to present your architectural plans. So charrette's a public meeting now.
So you had a bunch of them.
We had 13 public meetings and had about 250 students, faculty, townspeople. Anybody wanted to come could come. We had some people come from Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio, but it was a wide-open process. We were told you couldn't design a building like this, but it worked beautifully. And what began to emerge out of that was a sense that, in fact, architecture is a kind of crystallized pedagogy. And our places, our rooms, our buildings will teach us all kinds of things, things that we wouldn't often want to admit, but it teaches us. So if the lights are on and you have too much electricity burning, well, that teaches you something, that electricity is cheap and you can burn it with impunity. And if the room or place tells no story, well, what does that tell you? If the material, you have no idea where the materials came from. I teach students that have something like 190 organochlorine compounds embedded in their fatty tissues and bloodstream.
Is that good?
That is not good. That's the product of a century of promiscuous chemistry. 100,000 chemicals now ubiquitous in the world, and they're on our food and water and air and so forth. And that's pedagogy. That is teaching young people that there is a way in which all this stuff is just indifferent, and mammalian biochemistry and promiscuous chemistry can somehow work out. Well, it doesn't work that way. And so now we see all kinds of health problems. Sick building syndrome is simply the kind of the tip of the iceberg of all these kinds of things. So we set about to design a building that would be what the students wanted. What began to emerge out of this was the idea of a building that was zero discharge. Drinking water in, drinking water out.
Zero
discharge. So that toilets and laboratories and so forth, you're processing, you're taking in drinking water and you've got to turn out drinking water. And
how things happen in between, presumably?
Well, you hope something's happened in between, you bet. And then powered substantially by sunlight. In a building, your carpet on a feet made by one of your neighbors in Atlanta, Ray Anderson Interface Corporation, as a product of service. When we're finished with a carpet, it doesn't go to the landfill here. It goes back to Ray's company at Interface to be made into new carpet. Brand new way to think about things. Your elbows are on a table that's a product of Herman Miller. It's made out of recycled materials. You're in a brand new room. It doesn't smell like a brand new room because we selected for low VOC or volatile organic compound paints, varnishes, and finishes. So indoor air quality here is extraordinarily good. We're in a room that is daylit, so we don't need lighting on. And so light comes in this particular space from four directions. And so there are lots of ways to design buildings that are beautiful, airy, light, and don't cast this long shadow on the prospects of the young people that we purport to educate. So the act of making a building, can you begin to draw on the talents of young people and people to play a role in the kinds of spaces we create in the society? And the short answer is yes. And we found lots of interest with the community and students, faculty, townspeople who had never before been offered a chance to design something, a building that they use as part of their public space.
You may build briefly.
you speak of this as crystallized pedagogy, and part of what I find charming is it isn't crystallized. It is tangible, but it is dynamic. It is the things you're doing here. The students, in addition to using the space, can learn from the space and change the space. Yeah. Which in some ways is even more powerful than what you described.
Our guest is David Oren. Before he comes back, we're going to go away, and then we'll all come back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are with Professor David Orr at Oberlin College in Oberlin, Ohio. Please be with us when we return.